Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul had this to say in his letter to the Colossians. I think this is just one of the most powerful passages in all the Word of God, and something that we really need to think upon and consider and embrace as the truth of the gospel. He writes in chapter 1, verse 24, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church." So Paul is on a mission for the sake of the body of Christ, and he is willing to suffer for that mission. And he says this, "I have become its servant, the body of Christ's servant, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints." So there was this mystery held in the heart of God that was revealed through the Apostle Paul and through the other apostles concerning the Gentiles. And he says this, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery." And here it is. It is this, "Christ in you, the hope of glory."
Yeah.
The gospel isn't just about what Christ has accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's the fact that through these accomplishments, he has opened the way that he can come and take up residence in us. And that's what happens to every single believer when they turn to him by faith, when they go from death to life. Jesus Christ comes to live inside that person, and he lives within his body corporately, and that is our hope of glory.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ himself. It's not just a series of promises, although those promises are there. It's Jesus, our guarantee to be absent from the body and present with the Lord is Jesus Christ himself. That is incredible to know that the God of this universe has come to live in us, has come to live in you, regardless of the situations that you're facing in life, regardless of the darkness that surrounds us in this world that we live in, we have Christ, and because we have Christ, we have hope. That's the gospel.
That's the gospel. That's could not get any better than that. This is Basic Gospel, of course, everybody. Plenty of open lines at 844-322-2742. Calls beginning to come in, but if you've got something you'd like to talk about or a question you'd like to pose, good opportunity right now. Plenty of open lines remaining at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello, I hope you don't mind me asking this, but what's the main Bible verse that really clicks in and focuses on the new covenant?
Hebrews 8, verses 10 through 12 is the explanation of the new covenant, or actually where the new covenant is laid out for us. So that is the main passage in the New Testament, Hebrews 8. Verses 10 through 12, the writer of Hebrews repeats some of that in Hebrews 10, verses 17 and 18. And then the other passage that is really significant as far as the new covenant is concerned is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But I would point to Hebrews 10 through 12 as the main passage in Scripture that lays out the new covenant for us.
Thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
You too, Mary Jo. God bless you.
Mary Jo, that was too easy.
Sometimes we like easy.
That's right.
That's a good way to start. So, Mary Jo, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742. So many times we have questions that, I don't know, for some reason are just reluctant to ask. Maybe we're embarrassed that maybe we don't already know the answer. Well, you know, I think a lot of us are in that particular situation. I just heard Bob Christopher
Christopher mentioned a passage of Scripture right off the top of his head that, you know, I thought that was pretty nifty that you knew where the New Covenant was really, really homed in on it to begin with. So that was a great question from Mary Jo and a good answer from you, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, again, 844-322-2742. Don't hold on to that question. Let's talk about it on this edition of Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, a question from our friend Lucy, who lives in San Diego, and she refers to a call we had a couple of days ago regarding Adam and Eve. She says, I have come to the conclusion that they, Adam and Eve, were saved because they must have passed on the information about the blood sacrifice which they had received from God through faith to their children. Abel knew about it, and Cain rebelled against it, so they must have known what it was. Also, did not Eve say that God would give her a man-child, referring to a Savior? What do you think about that?
Well, I think Lucy has some great insights there. I think Adam and Eve did respond to the offer of God's grace. After they had sinned, they clothed themselves in the fig leaves, and God said, that's not good enough. And he took animal skins and clothed them, and they received that covering. And so that was a receiving of the grace of God. So God did something for them that they really couldn't do for themselves. And that was foreshadowing really what we would receive in Christ, the total forgiveness of our sins. Now, the Scripture never says that Adam and Eve are saved. It doesn't give a lot of insight into their life after Cain and Abel and Seth, really.
Right.
We don't hear much about them, particularly Eve. We hear a little bit more about Adam, as Paul talks about Adam as the one who fell, and Jesus Christ being the second Adam who lived the sinless life and was able to offer himself once for all for the sins of the world so that we could be forgiven. But I think there's a lot in that Genesis account that can lead us to that conclusion that indeed they had received the grace of God in receiving the skins. God had to kill an animal to get those skins
right, to
cover them, and they received that. And I'm sure they passed on that information to Cain and Abel and Seth. So I agree with Lucy. I think we can say with some confidence that they were indeed saved.
Yeah. Lucy, appreciate hearing from you as always. And, friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. We'd love to address your question. Again, that's at bob@basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk to Bill listening to us on The Word. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Bill. What's on your mind today?
Well, I've got one question for you that's got multiple ramifications. I left the Seventh Adventist Church about 12 years ago, but stopped serving there about 3 years ago. And my biggest question for you is Galatians says that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us under Christ. And the Seventh Adventist Church teaches that the Old Testament, especially the Ten Commandments, was not part of the original Mosaic law. I always thought it was, that you couldn't separate it.
Well, I think
that the Ten Commandments meant to point out sin, and they were never a justification for righteousness.
Well, you're exactly right, Bill. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He starts out this passage in verse 6, going to the end of the chapter. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And we certainly know Paul's past before coming to Christ. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees as far as legalistic righteousness without fault. He believed that obedience to the law was the way to eternal life. And then he met Jesus, and Jesus opened his eyes to truth and showed him the realities of this new covenant. And so all throughout Paul's writings, we see the contrast between the old and the new here, I think, in one of its clearest presentations. And he says this in verse 7, now if the ministry that brought death, so that's the law, and he clarifies what he means. He said, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory. So that that law that kills, that ministry that brought death, was engraved in letters on stone. So what were those? Those were the Ten Commandments. So he is clearly identifying the Ten Commandments as the ministry that brought death. It points out our sin, and it shows us the consequence of sin, which is death. So we've been set free from that law of sin and death through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So now that we've been set free, the law doesn't have a role in our lives. We are to be led by the Spirit of God. It's an internal motivation by which our spirits are in union with God's Holy Spirit, and we are being led internally by Him.
Yeah, my one thing that I read about, it kind of came to me one day, I believe the Spirit was leading me, is that Jesus said, "All ye that are heavy laden and burdened, come to me, and I will give you rest."
That's
he
right.
He said he's the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of rest. He's the rest. He said he wanted rest for our souls. So I'm not saying that the Sabbath is wrong on Saturday, but the thing is, you're not wrong on Sunday if you keep that day. My thing is this, the important part is the rest for your souls is in Jesus. That's why he said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest."
Yeah. Well, Bill, you are spot on there. And let me just add this one last passage. When we talk about the law, when we talk about that Mosaic covenant, when we talk about the Ten Commandments and the sacrificial system and the ceremonial laws and all of those sort of things, those are all grouped together as one entity, that Mosaic covenant. And here's what the writer of Hebrews said about the Mosaic covenant. In chapter 10, verse 1, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. So that Sabbath commandment, that fourth commandment that talked about a rest, was a shadow, was merely a shadow of what we would experience in reality through faith in Jesus Christ. So when we come unto Christ and experience rest, we are experiencing the reality that fourth commandment foreshadowed. That's good news, isn't it?
Sure, it's great news.
Yeah.
Because I know, like myself and others, have always wondered, if I don't keep the Sabbath right, am I sinning against God?
Well, I think when we experience that rest through faith, and that's the only way we can experience that, is through faith in the finished work of Christ, that's when we are living out what God has actually called us to do, and that is to walk by faith in Jesus.
That's how I feel. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Well, let's go to Fort Worth again and talk with Linda listening to us on the Word. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I was just wanting to know about absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'm suffering because of a loss of a daughter, and I was comforted by others that, you know, led me to believe that, you know, that she was, you know, once she did pass, that's where she was. But I have heard other things, you know, that she's not there. She's actually, you know, knows nothing at this moment until, you know, things come to where we all will, you know, be present with the Lord. And, you know, could you explain that to me?
Well, Linda, here's what happens at the very moment of death for a mm-hmm. believer.
Yes.
You know, Jesus has overcome death. We see that through his resurrection. So he conquered mm-hmm. sin and death through his work on the cross and in his resurrection. So when we come to him by faith, we are made alive spiritually with the promise that we're going to get new bodies. So at death, we simply pass from this realm into his presence. So we're absent from the body. That's where we lived before. That was our earthly mm-hmm. tent. And mm-hmm. once that body dies, our spirit, our souls, just simply go to be with Jesus. And then there's going to be a time in the future where we receive our resurrected bodies. So Linda, she is absent. If she's in Christ, if she was in Christ,
she
the moment she took her last breath, She went to be with Jesus. She was in his presence. That's pretty good news, isn't it?
Great news.
Yeah. Because I've been told opposite, that she knows nothing, that she's in the grave, and she knows nothing until that time comes.
Yeah.
And I was confused.
Well, that's a theology called soul sleep. We just go to sleep, and when he returns, we're awakened and resurrected.
This is consciousness for her.
Yes.
People would be consciousness.
Yes. So she is experiencing the full measure of joy and peace and happiness and contentment in Christ right now.
Thank you.
Well, Linda, we're so glad you called, and I'm so glad that you have this hope that can anchor your soul as far as she's concerned. And I think every time you think of her, you can think of her with a smile, knowing that she is experiencing the full joy being in God's presence.
I appreciate that. She left 5 children behind. And I appreciate you telling me everything. Thank you. I'll let someone else call.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for your call. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you some other information, other resources that I think can be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And those 5 children certainly are going to be blessed with your presence in their lives. And I think God will use you in an incredible way to help them. So you hang on, Linda. Thank you so much for calling. And we're right here in the Dallas area. If there's anything that we can do more for you, please let us know, okay?
I will.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You hold the line, Linda. Somebody will pick you up in just a second.
Well, Bob, anytime we can share truth that relieves the anguish of a mother's heart it's just a blessing beyond compare that we are privileged to participate in every day here at Basic Gospel. And friends, that's the reason it's so vitally important for this ministry and this message to be on the air live, so that those who have a hurting heart and who have a need can call and get immediate answers. And we've underscored the fact that during January, it's very important to keep the momentum going and not fall behind. And I want to remind you again that for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, your gift back from us is going to be a brand new Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, a perfect companion to Bob Christopher's best-selling book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, which we've talked about many times. Through its pages, you're going to discover the foundational truths of the gospel, helping you to more confidently move into the new covenant and all that it has and all that it holds for believers. And so all you need to do is click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-412-2742, or donate on any page at basicgospel.net. And Bob, getting the gift offer this month, that's important because it's going to lead readers and studiers into God's Word on a deeper basis. But that's just part of the reason to give.
Yes, indeed, there's so many people out there that need their hearts mended. They need the love and compassion and comfort that only the Lord can bring. And hearing this gospel message can be the comfort, can be the solution in their lives. So when you give to Basic Gospel, you're providing solutions to people who are desperately seeking answers or seeking help or seeking hope. So thank you for standing with us. Your gifts do make a difference. And, you know, if you think about giving and you ask the question, what do I want my gift to accomplish? I can think of no better answer to that question than this: to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ to a hurting soul.
Absolutely.
If I can give a dime or $1 million and see God use it to connect someone to the love of Christ, that brings the greatest joy to my heart. And when you give to Basic Gospel, I think that's what it's going to bring to your heart as well, knowing that God is using that gift to connect people to the love of Christ.
Again, click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or call and speak with Billy at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742.
Well, Bob, let's go down to Waco, Texas, and talk with Alice listening to us on KBBW. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. Thank you. A long-time listener, probably a second-time caller. I have a granddaughter that texted me this morning and said that, you know, she had been really thinking that she wanted to have surgery to be converted to a boy. And I haven't responded to her, and so I'm calling you for guidance and help and scripture or directions on how to respond to her. She's 18 years old. She's still in high school, and I just don't know how to respond to that question, or not a question, to her wanting to make a change.
Well, Alice, I mean, that is just a heart-wrenching situation for you, and what to say and how to respond, because you don't want it to end up being a fight. You don't want to end up where, you know, you just never speak to one another again. And certainly that issue is very incendiary as far as that's concerned. It can be. So you want to navigate that with care, with concern, with some real truth that can help in the situation. Obviously, something's going on deep within her. She's sensing that life just isn't right for her, that she would be happier if this sex change happened. And I think that's where I would, you know, approach the subject or try to talk. You know, find out what's really going on deep within her. What is she looking for? What is she hoping to accomplish? And then to give her what the gospel is, to tell her about Jesus and what she can have in Christ and what he is making available to her. So I would use this as an opportunity to really share the good news with her.
Okay.
And so are you?
I'm sorry. Does she have to repent? Does a person have to repent every time they sin?
Well, Alice, repentance is a bigger word than just sin. You know, turning away from the sins that we commit. It's about changing our whole mindset, changing our whole belief system. And for her, she is thinking that there's going to be happiness in this transgender world. And there's not going to be happiness there. There's not going to be ultimate contentment there. She's still going to be, distant from God. And so what she ultimately wants is to find her place in God's story, and that's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so repentance is saying in one's heart and mind that all these things that I was seeking out there in the world, I know they're not there. And so I am turning away from seeking and searching things out there, and I'm turning to Christ to find everything I need and desire and long for in him. That's what true repentance is turning away from the way of life the world offers and embracing this new life that Christ offers through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
I talk a lot about that in the book I wrote, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, just what is repentance, how it spells itself out in our lives. Let me send that to you so that you can give to your granddaughter, okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
You hang on, Alice. Somebody will pick up with you here in just a minute.
And thanks to everybody who called or dropped an email to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. We love hearing from you, and we love being here to address the needs as they come up. A reminder also that you can stay in touch with Basic Gospel while you're on the go by downloading our feature-rich Basic Gospel app. Of course, it's available in the App Store right now. Well, that's our broadcast for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.